This week on Retronauts, an episode hosted by the legally distinct podcaster, Mob Backy. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Retronauts. I'm your host for this one, Bob Mackey, and today we're talking about Ace Attorney, all of the games we didn't cover in our last episode about Ace Attorney, because back in 394, we covered the origins of the series and the first three games, and now we're back 2 years later to cover the rest of the vast, vast Ace Attorney library. And this podcast is actually coinciding with the recent announcement of the Apollo Justice Ace Attorney trilogy coming to all major platforms in 2024. Before I continue, who is here with me today in coming in from Japan? Who is here today?
Hi, it's Maddie Kopp, and it's pretty cool. They still let me podcast from death row.
And who else do we have?
I'm the one on the jury who's definitely a witch. It's me, Nina Matsumoto.
Nina will be burned alive after this podcast.
Looking forward to
She'll be dropped from her cage into an incinerator. Now, Nina, you were just on a podcast, but Maddie, it's been a few years since you've been on Retronauts. And in that short amount of time, you have become not only the greatest Metal Gear Solid fan to ever walk the earth, but you were also recently probably best known on video, forever preserved as Bad Girl.
Yeah. It's been a couple crazy years. I also moved to Japan. And I seem to have gained some kind of notoriety for Metal Gear Solid comics, as well as quite a few Resident Evil ones. And and also I work at Grasshopper, and I am now Bad Girl.
Officially. And actually, Nina, and recently you just had some great Metal Gear merch come out through Fangamer, speaking of Metal Gear.
Yeah, now I design merchandise for Metal Gear and Metal Gear Solid. And have I done anything for Resident Evil? I guess not. Sorry, there's things I've done that were not approved by them, so I can't remember if I've done anything for Resident Evil that has actually come out, but I don't think so.
You might
have
pitched things that didn't get accepted.
Yeah, it happens.
So I want to let listeners know that, of course, you definitely want to go back to episode 394 if you want to hear us talk about the origins of the series and the first three games. But in this episode, we're going to avoid the big spoilers and limit our discussion to the development of the games, the mechanics, the characters, the reception to the games, and so on. Basically, because it's hard for all of us to remember the essentially 25 novels worth of text that is found within the 9 games that we're going to be talking about today. So it's going to be the broad strokes, but I think we're going to give you a very good overview of where the series went after the initial trilogy.
Well, also, we have not all played all of these games that we're going to talk about today.
That's true. I still have to play one of them.
And I have 1.5 I haven't played, so
I have 1.5 as well.
So we're all lacking, but we can each fill in the gaps that we are
missing like the same one though.
We're all fake fans.
We're all fake fans.
Talk about this.
Well, we can't find anyone better to talk about these games, so it's going to be us. I apologize.
I've done official Ace Attorney merchandise since the last time we talked about this.
Oh, that's right. I remember.
You're the most qualified.
You have the Maya shirt. You have the Ace Attorney desk mat.
Mm-hmm.
What else am I missing here?
So far, that's it. But there is more coming.
Ooh, okay.
Perhaps more exciting by the time this episode is out.
Depending
on when this is coming out. We are doing more.
Awesome. So I also want to point out that, weirdly enough, this is a very fruitful time for what I call the anime murder genre, of which Ace Attorney is a part. Because just since 2023 began, we have 4 games. We have Paranormasite, we have Your Turn to Die, we have Process of Elimination, and we have the newly released Raincode by the maker of Danganronpa.
We're also getting a port of Ghost Trick as well, so it's like, it's the good time for murder mystery fans.
It really is. Yeah. And the Ghost Trick ports should be out pretty soon. I think that's this summer.
Yeah. And we're the same group who did the Ghost Trick episode too. So.
Yes. Now you have no excuse.
What Your Turn to Die is. What is that?
It's a remake of a web-only Danganronpa-style game, but it came out officially on Steam in February of 2023. And then Process of Elimination is essentially Nipponichi doing their own Danganronpa, and the investigation scenes sort of play out like Final Fantasy Tactics. It's very weird, but I'm looking forward to playing it.
Plays out like Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah, okay. It plays out like a tactical RPG. I don't know how it works, but it looks really neat.
Interesting.
I can't picture how that would work, but I'm intrigued.
I could be selling it, but I have purchased all of these games already. I've had time to play Paranormacite, which I do recommend, but it's a very good time for this very small genre. I just want to point that out in advance. If you like these games, there's a lot more to play.
I love murdered animes.
Mm-hmm. Me too. So we're going to talk about the second trilogy first, and that begins with Apollo Justice Ace Attorney, released in Japan in April of 2007 and in America in February of 2008. And a lot of this is going to be talking about the series as both a blessing and a curse for the creator Shu Takumi, because he's always trying to get away from the series, but it simply makes enough money that they won't let him leave unless he quits Capcom, which I don't think is going to happen. So,
can I put heavy quotation marks around trilogy?
Yes.
Any fan has referred to this as the Apollo Justice trilogy until they release this
It's a trilogy because it's 4, 5, and 6, and it's being released as a trilogy later. Maddie, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say it just doesn't work in the same way that others do, but it's like, what else? No. How else are you going to group them, kind of?
I feel like all the fans were like, Apollo Justice trilogy when they released that name. We're like,
you know, the main character of all three of those games, Apollo Justice.
Sure. I mean, we'll get to it. By the time you get done with Spirit of Justice, you can say, oh, I guess that was kind of the end of his story. So by the time they get around to the last game here, they do figure out, like, we should probably finish this character's story, and they do. And I will get to the sixth game.
Yeah, there's one cliffhanger from the fourth game that they still never went over, but
I don't need to tell you this, folks, but life is already complicated enough. And on top of that, you have to work for a living? What's up with that? And if your line of work involves being on the dang computer all day, you know how hard it can be to track tasks, set goals, all while trying to spend as little time as possible switching tabs and sorting docs. But never fear, that's where Notion comes in. Today, I'm excited to share that they just launched Notion Projects, which includes new, powerful ways to manage projects and leverage the power of built-in AI features, too. Notion Projects combines project management with your docs, knowledge base, and AI, so you can stop jumping between tools and stop paying too much for them, too. In just one workspace, you can do everything you need to get your projects over the finish line, from brainstorming to drafting launch plans to organizing sprints and keeping everyone on deadline. Notion is super customizable too. View projects any which way, as a timeline, table, or Kanban board. There's also powerful filtering and automation features so you can work exactly the way you want. And on top of that, Notion AI helps you automate all that tedious overhead like summarizing meeting notes or finding next steps, freeing you up to do the deep work. Do your most efficient work with Notion Projects. You can try it for free today at notion.com/retro. That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/retro. When you use our link, you're supporting our show. Go right now to notion.com/retro. So yeah, Shu Takumi cannot get away from Phoenix Wright. He was assigned to work on a fourth game in the series for the DS. He didn't want to include Phoenix Wright, but basically was forced to because the character was simply too popular. So he wasn't even allowed a fresh start. But this game is really the debut of Takeshi Yamazaki. We'll be talking about for the rest of the podcast. He worked on the DS re-releases of the original trilogy and had a big hand in the design of the extra case in that trilogy. And some of those elements will be found in the progressive games in the series from 4 and beyond. So Takeshi Yamazaki would direct the next two Ace Attorney games, and he would also direct the entire Miles Edgeworth series. And he left Capcom in July of 2020. I'm assuming he didn't want to do this anymore, and I totally understand why. These games seem very difficult to make and to write, and he was a director and a writer on a lot of them throughout the course of a decade.
In a way, I kind of feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Because I can understand why he would want to just end Phoenix's story at Trials and Tribulations. It's a good ending. And then he was kind of forced to bring him back. And when they thought of like a good way to bring him back, the fans were kind of not for it. They were like, oh, what did you do to Phoenix? And then they just kind of have to like revert him back to what he was before. And then he just kind of took over the quote-unquote Apologizes trilogy.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the most difficult thing is they just couldn't focus on Apollo. And if they did, I think it would have been more interesting if they were able to really make him his own character. But even the major mystery, kind of like the background mystery of the fourth game, is what happened to Phoenix. And it's like they couldn't make Apollo the focus.
Yeah, he sort of is, Phoenix is the Poochie of the Apollo Justice series, in which people are always asking, where's Phoenix? And yeah, this game, when I played it when it was new, I was kind of surprised by the reception because this is a game I really mainlined over the course of a weekend, just because it was I was having a busy time in grad school. It was the one weekend I didn't have homework. My then girlfriend was out of town, and I was just like, okay, I'm going to play this entire game in 2 days. And I did, and I had a really good time with it. But I was really surprised to see this being a disliked game. And because of that, it will change the trajectory of the series from this point on, at least with the mainline games. I don't know if either of you had the same impression of this game when you played it for the first time.
I loved it. I loved the characters. I think we were definitely, like, a lot of fans were kind of hesitant at first. They're like, who's this new guy? Whatever. But once I played it, I loved it. I think the artwork is phenomenal. It's, you know, it's really special because it is the only Ace Attorney game that was made, or the mainline game that was made for the DS. So it has like gorgeous sprite work. Yeah, and it came out when I was like 17 or 18. And so it was like the kind of height of me and my friend's Ace Attorney fandom. So yeah, I completely loved it when it came out.
I do remember when the game first came out in Japan, that was back when I was like deep in the Ace Attorney fandom. So I was like buying the import from Japan and looking at reviews online and stuff and seeing the fan reception. And people were kind of hesitant about accepting a new protagonist of Apollo. And they felt like he was kind of bland compared to Phoenix, or just kind of like a carbon copy of Phoenix without the actual backstory Phoenix. So there was a bit of hesitation, rejection there, but it felt like there were more people in North America who liked this more, like when it came out in English eventually here. I feel like overall, like the West has embraced quote unquote the Apologists trilogy more than Japan has.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it is the series creator writing the game, and I do think as we go throughout the rest of the podcast and talk about the other games, I feel like there is a marked difference in the games that Shu Takumi writes and the games that he doesn't write. I mean, I do enjoy the entire series, but you can definitely tell when the creator is behind it. Just think, he's better at writing mysteries. He's better at characterization, and I know he has people helping him, of course, but I really think his games are the strongest. And we'll see that with 5 and 6, but I do feel like this is a very well-written game. But I feel like we were also very spoiled, especially in America, because we got all of these like back-to-back-to-back. And when we start getting to the periods of Phoenix Wright drought, we realized we didn't know how good we had it at the time, just getting basically a new game a year for a very long time.
Yeah, it definitely was, and obviously Japan had the Game Boy Advance games, so they had like a much longer history with it, whereas America, the fandom was just so strong in that time. It was the pinnacle of being an Ace Attorney fan, so it was just like a really fun time, and I think any content was kind of seen as good content.
Yeah, for us it was like 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, and then 2010, and then 2013, then 2016, and then 2021. So you can see the gaps get bigger for us when it comes to the releases of these games. But yeah, I think we didn't know how good we had it. But you're saying earlier, Maddie, that this is the only game designed for the DS, the only Ace Attorney game designed from the ground up for the DS, not the 3DS. And because of that, The new mini game, the new system in the game is the Perceive system. And it's fairly simple, but they're really taking advantage of more file space on the cart and, you know, just the higher fidelity of graphics in that there's a certain point in every trial in which you need to watch the witness closely as they're giving their testimony. And you have to look all around them for the tell on their body in which that shows they're lying. And it is basically a hidden object game, but it is very cool. I do like this, and they will bring this back, not with 2D graphics, of course, but this is a very good looking 2D game. And the last time it would really be looking this good in 2D, even though the Edgeworth games are 2D, but I feel like they had more money and more time with this one.
I don't want to be too negative, but the Perceive system, it is cool and it makes sense for the DS system. However, just I know it's a ridiculous video game premise to begin with, but just like being able to corner a witness just by saying like, oh, you sweated a little when you said this, or your eye twitched a little when you said this, it just felt a little too ridiculous, and it was hard for me to buy into it at first. I was like, this would not hold up in court. And I know it's a stupid video game, like, it's all fictional, it's supposed to be ridiculous and fantasy and all that, but that, it was hard for me to suspend the belief for, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not based on, like, actual evidence, it was just like, oh, but you looked a little nervous and you said this. It's like, well, what does that mean?
They're nervous because they're on court. You know? Most attorneys don't have a magic bracelet.
Yeah, but what is he going to tell the judge? Like, oh, Your Honor, my bracelet squeezed my wrist a little when they said this, therefore.
He needs to submit the magic bracelet ahead of time to the judge.
This is, like, I know
just,
there's, like...
just sit around. Like,
there's,
here,
like, summoning ghosts and stuff, but... Yeah, I know. It's just... I just couldn't buy into this enough.
I can't, like, remember my exact impression of it then, but I feel like compared to Athena's gimmick, I appreciate it more because I think Athena's gimmick is worse. So maybe because
I agree.
That, I'm like, okay, well, actually, yeah. It's kind of cool.
Athena's gimmick is worse, and we'll talk about it, but her thing is basically like you're playing with a play school toy, like a preschool toy, with, like, press
Simon
the face.
Says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure at the time I thought, like, well, this is kind of silly, but it's still, like, something new, and you get to see, like, a close-up of really cool art. But then
I like
Danganronpa, in which it has, like, visual metaphors, like your train of thought is a car driving down the street. I don't mind when things get a little silly in the trial scenes.
Yeah, I was going to say, though, yeah, I just the graphics of that game are really incredible. I remember the first time seeing Trucy's sprite where Mr. Hat pops out, and just like how mind-blowing seeing that, like, that animation particularly was just incredible. And so yeah, just that game is really beautiful to look at.
Yeah, I said this in the last podcast we did, but I do think Apologesis is the best looking out of all the games.
Yeah, I recently replayed 1, 2, and 3 like a few years ago, and having played all of the later ones more recently, it's easy to forget that, oh, those games really didn't have a lot of frames of animation, especially in the takedowns of the criminals. That's something they would do a lot with when the games went to 3D. But when you go back to the original games, it's like, oh, there's two new frames of animation for me taking out the villain, and that's basically it.
And it'll be interesting to see how, because they are doing like the HD adaptation for it as well, and which I think a lot of people didn't think it did a very good, like, even though the HD graphics are basically the original illustrations, it didn't really do the games a service because that limited animation worked a lot better with the sprites. So a lot of people were kind of iffy about when they did the HD ones, and I'm wondering if Apologesis, the HD, might actually kind of look a little better because it has those extra frames of animation.
Yeah, I think they have more to work with. I really would prefer the sprite graphics, but I don't know how they would do that and be able to sell it as like a new game. But other things about this, it takes over some things from the Extra Case in the Ace Attorney 1 re-release for the DS. There's basically the same kind of focus on forensics. And then there's a few elements of this game that has polygonal scenes with 3D graphics, and this is just an example of them thinking like they might have made this a 3D game from the beginning, but they decided not to, which is great. I'm glad they didn't decide to make this a polygonal game on the DS. It would not have looked as good as it ended up looking. But there's a few little things in the game that play out in 3D, and mostly I remember watching the same footage of a concert over and over and over again.
Right. It's similar. It is similar to the fifth case in the first game they added, where it's like, here's a video, watch it over and over again.
That's right. There's a video in that one too.
Yeah.
But yeah, they bring back Emma, but not Maya. So in a way, it's more scientific because they don't bring back a girl who can summon a ghost to talk to her.
They had to balance out the magic bracelet.
Yeah, exactly. So in a way, it's not so bad.
I feel like they had bigger plans for Emma because, well, when we talk about the Miles Edgeworth series, she was going to be the main character before they decided she's not popular enough. And then when you see her pop up in the fifth and sixth game, she's just really pissed off all the time and overworked.
Nobody wants to play as a girl.
It's true. That's why Athena gets buried in the sixth game. Really, she has like one little trial, which is weird because I feel like the majority of the Ace Attorney fan base are women, right? Am I wrong about this?
Yeah, but they're women who like men, so.
Yeah. Want to see the hot guys. Yeah.
They want to see vaguely homoerotic tension.
Exactly. Other women just get in the way of that.
What's this woman doing here? Get her out of the way. One thing I would do want to talk about is that, no spoilers here, but the end of the game involves the introduction of something called the Juris system, which was implied to be the future of the series, but that would not actually come about until the Great Ace Attorney. This was put on hold for a long time. And so this actually reflected a change to Japan's justice system that I just found out about, because as late as 2009, Japan introduced a lay judge system in which jurors will share the bench with the judge and they're permitted to ask the witness questions. And that explains why in future games, the jurors are extremely chatty. Apparently, this only applies to trials for serious crimes in Japan. So not every trial in Japan is a lay judge trial, but that was something new that started in, I think, August of 2009. So the future of the series was going to reflect the future of Japan's law system. Maddie.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, because like I've only played Ace Attorney, I can only like imagine that in an extremely like comical situation, just like the judge and all these jurors like chatting about some person who's on trial for murder.
I want them to all be insane characters like they are in Great Ace Attorney.
Exactly.
But because none of us has done jury duty.
No. In fact, I got out of it because I'm moving.
It's a valid reason.
Yeah, the only time, I've like been summoned, but then it was just like, oh, just kidding, we didn't need you. So it's like, okay, cool.
I think in some states there are special trials in which jurors can ask the defendants questions and things like that, but this is something different. And I was reading, like, when did this come about? And apparently Japan had a juror system in place like ours from in America from 1923 to 1943, but during the war, it was put on hold, and they were like, okay, after the war, we'll get back to having jurors. But then it took until 2009. So, I guess these games don't get very political, but at their roots, they are political in that, like, a dumb judge decides everything.
Yeah. It is interesting to see those influences on the games, even though obviously they aren't, you know, indicative of actual, you know, law systems, but to have that influence is still interesting.
And I mean we have a lot to cover here, so I don't want to linger too long on one game, but it's going to be interesting to see how this is reevaluated when this new collection comes out, because I haven't played this game in 15 years and I'm looking forward to jumping back in again. I remember liking it and just being put off by all the sour fan discussion that happened afterwards. And then the series went through some lulls after that. I think we're in a good place now, but I really want to see what the 2024 gamer thinks of this game. Now that it's removed from the context of, oh, this guy's the future of the series now and we hate him.
Yeah, it is really interesting because, like, you know, they've released the trilogy multiple times, so everyone's so familiar with that. And these games have been kind of neglected in a sense, but now people can kind of experience in them all at once. So we'll see, you know.
I will say, even though I know they were forced to put him in there, it is cool how they brought back Phoenix as a completely different character. And I will say, without him being in the game, I don't know if I would have picked up this game.
Yeah, that is true. It's like, it is like, I do feel that they should have had more like trust in Apollo and making him his own character and giving him his own story. But I also completely understand why they put Phoenix in and why they gave him such a major role, because that's what everyone wanted to see. And that's, I mean, that was the thing in like when the trailer came out and you like saw these new characters, and then you saw Phoenix and he's like this weird hobo, and you're like, what happened? And so that's all you care about. You're like, I need to know what happened to Phoenix.
Yeah, I was like, why is he like this? Why is his personality so different?
We're the toxic fans that made Apollo the way he is.
But then he should have... I don't want to give away too much, but like, I wish he kind of stayed that way. I guess it's not a spoiler to say he came back as a lawyer.
Right, in the...
You know he comes back as a lawyer.
No, it's, it is. They like... Apollo Justice, they were like, we want to put this new guy in, and but we still want Phoenix to be there. But then the fifth game, they're just kind of like, yeah, screw Apollo.
Phoenix right back in the title.
Yeah.
I liked his like more lax persona in this game.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. He's just like weird.
He's more
like
mature.
Weird hobo dad who's just it was a really neat version of Phoenix, and we only get to see him that way in 4, so.
Yeah, I also like this, and I think it was the most dignified way to bring back this character that was forced on the creator to return, and it was a new take on him, and there was a mystery about him. It did remove the attention from the title character, but if he was forced to do it, this is the best way. I feel like just making him the star again in 5 and 6 wasn't the best course for the series.
Yeah, it would have been cool.
He should have been a mentor.
The mentorship role for the rest of the series would have been neat. It would have allowed the other characters to...
The wise, old, like, jaded guy who...
Disbarred or whatever.
No, exactly. Like, he should have stayed that way. And I guess it was eventually real. It was all like a persona that he was putting on. And then when you see him again in the next game, he's just like right back to normal. I'm like, no, he should have matured. Like, he should have.
I combed my hair.
Like, his personality.
He's got a new vest.
Yeah, right. A vest and a locket.
Once he shaved, they let him into the vest store. He got the new vest. We have to move on, though, to the next game, Ace Attorney 5, in America called Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Dual Destinies, released in Japan and the U.S. in 2013. So this is, in my opinion, a real regression for Ace Attorney. It feels like an overreaction to Apollo Justice's reception. And because of that, it's a real back-to-basics approach. Apollo gets sidelined. Phoenix Wright's name is in the title. And we have a new character. And because it's developed alongside Layton versus Wright... Shu Takumi is not working on this project. I'm sure he's around and answering questions, but based on how this game turned out, I'm not sure he was very available, because to me, this is the worst game in the series. Still worth playing, but noticeably worse than anything else in the series.
Yeah, I agree.
That's exactly how I feel too.
I like the DLC case a lot.
That's what I was going to say. The DLC case is
that's the best
part
case.
Of this game. And it's wonderful. And it's super wacky. Is. And the anime cutscenes and the songs are really fantastic. So it's worth playing just for the DLC alone.
Yeah, I do. I do like 6 more than 5. But with both games, the DLC case is very strong. And, you know, the director of this is Yamazaki, we mentioned before. It sounds like he was very burned out working on the Miles Edgeworth games, because he directed those two before he got on board this game, and he almost quit until another staff member showed him how much people like the series. He was like on the brink of quitting Capcom when this new game was forced on him. So I think he was kind of at the end of his rope. He would go on to work on the next game, which I think is a much better game, but this feels like the work of someone who is very tired of making this kind of experience.
Yeah,
I think.
And I know we're going to get to the Layton crossover later, but you can see, I think we all would agree that you can see the effort that was put into that one over this.
Yeah, and it's I guess it's fortunate in America that this released first, because then Layton versus Wright couldn't make it look bad to us, at least. And we're also entering an era in which Ace Attorney feels like a lesser release for Capcom, because digital games had a different identity 10 years ago. But in the age in which everything was on a disc or a cart, Making the Ace Attorney series digital only made it seem like, oh, it's not as important. And that's really what this era feels like. It's Capcom is barely releasing games.
And it's so interesting because when they first released the first Phoenix Wright on the DS, it was such a surprise success. And it just like catapulted into success and everyone was sold out of it. And then you get to this point where it's just kind of, it's almost the opposite. It's almost more like what you think they expected with the series is it's just kind of like, oh, some weirdos will probably play this, but that's about it.
Yeah. And there's a lot of text to localize, and this time around they have to hire voice actors. So this feels like a much more expensive localization than anything that came before, where it was really just one person kind of doing all the localization work. This time there's a lot more people involved, higher production values. And I will say, like, the real standout here is the graphics. This is when these games start looking really good in 3D. They were depicted earlier in Leighton versus Wright, which we'll talk about. But here, I feel like the presentation in terms of animation is much better. They really nail how the characters should move. That's not quite the case with Leighton versus Wright, although I feel like that game has better production values. This one, the animations are just so much fun to watch. And this is the game where they really figure out, oh, one of the main attractions will be kind of like the finishing moves in court and the very elaborate animations with the villains. And I really feel like it's here that they decide, like, oh, every villain has a prop, and eventually that prop will reveal their true intent. I feel like that's kind of like a little runner throughout 5 and 6. I know there are props in the earlier games, but here it feels like something that they decided ahead of time to really run with.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were hesitant about the switch to 3D, but they did really nail it. The animations are beautiful. And for some reason, like, one of the moments that sticks out is like you're investigating a scene and then all of a sudden it like pans up and like Fulbright like waves out of a window, and it was just like, wow, like these things you can do now are amazing. And they just were able to kind of have more fun with the environments and with the characters in a way that they were limited before.
Yeah, the fact that not only the characters are in 3D, the environment as well, so you kind of like swing around and like look around things, which you could not do before in the past games. That was a major change. Yeah, like they did a good job with the models, the character models for sure. Like, I think they like made it so that they made different models of the faces so that it looked good from a certain angle, and then it would switch to a different model when they were like moving at different expressions and different angles and such. They made sure to like keep the spirit of the flat 2D graphics sprites, which I still miss, and I still wish they would go back to, because that's what I prefer. But they did the best they could with the 3D models.
Yeah, they really were able to match the classic poses while adding new things for the characters to do. And I feel like Capcom is really number one in terms of character animation. Like this and Monster Hunter and Resident Evil, they're just so good at that, especially with Monster Hunter. I feel like they've got some great people on board to know how to make people move in an effective way. So yeah, this is a bad game. I still think it's worth playing, but in terms of an Ace Attorney game...
I think part of it is it's being compared to not only the trilogy, but even Apollo Justice, which are, you know, all really fantastic games, or at least really good. And nothing about it hit right. Even like the kind of like the big mystery was just kind of weird. Like the major like villain reveal, you're just kind of like, all right, that's a something. And and it's just like, I mentioned before, Athena's system is just like, what emotions are people feeling? Is this person happy or sad? And it's just like, but honestly, I think the major complaint I had this game, and you kind of touched on this earlier, is it felt like it was holding your hand the entire time. It like did not give you the opportunity to think for yourself, and it's like you would figure something out and it'd take like half an hour for it to actually get to that point in the game. And you're like, no, I already understand this. You don't have to guide me through every single little step of it.
The first time they put in the checklist.
Oh, that too. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of hand-holding. I remember because it came up in my research for 6. I forgot there's kind of mandatory hints in this game that you can't turn off. And they'll kind of nudge you too much in the right direction without you having to figure out like, oh, what does this character is saying this? How is this a hint for me? Instead, they kind of just directly tell you should present this information, and the investigations are streamlined. it just feels like we had gotten over this kind of handholding in games by this point. So it was felt like a weird regression. And
yeah,
that was a good qualification, Maddie. It is a bad game because it's being compared to the other games around it. If this was the only Phoenix Wright game, it probably would be like, oh, this is neat and original. How cool. But other things have done this so much better. And I'm glad they recovered from this. But it was a bad time for the series.
Yeah. And like everything, and just like the story, everything they did with Apollo and the whole like dark age of the law. And it's just this bizarre plot. And Apollo's like just like emo and sad the whole time. And you're like, what's his deal? Why is he like this? And it's a weird game.
I complained about this in the last podcast we did, but one thing I don't like about Apollo is his personality and backstory changes to whatever suits the need of whatever game it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
And this is one big example of that. And like, especially in like the next one as well. Like, I don't know. Another big complaint I have about this game is there's like three protagonists.
Yeah.
And because of that, there's no real focus on one character. Just drop one of them. We don't need Athena.
And
if you have Athena, just drop Apollo, Phoenix. Get Phoenix out of there. We just need Apollo and Athena. Like, whatever. Who cares about Phoenix anymore? His story is done.
Both Athena and Simon, I was, like, lukewarm on. It's like, I like them now, but I like them because of their role in 6, because they have a really great case that's just fun in 6. But in 5, you're just kind of like, okay, like, yeah. Big emo, like his concept is funny, the fact that it's like, oh, he's on death row but we like need him to prosecute. It's like so stupid. But it's like
he's
it's
allowed
funny.
To keep his bird though. I mean, I like him.
Oh yeah, he's a bird man. You should love that.
I like him as a fellow bird man. And
also,
I mean, it's such a silly, I mean, he's like a kind of like a Ronin stereotype as well, but he's handcuffed in court when he's fighting you in court, basically.
It's a fun gimmick. One of the big reveals of the game also is something they've done before. So I saw it coming from like a mile away. I'm like, oh, you're doing this again? So that was disappointing as well.
We mentioned Athena, though. I did want to bring her up because everybody's mechanics are incorporated into this game. You get the psych lock thing with Phoenix Wright. You get the perceive system with Apollo Justice. And then Athena has the mood matrix. In theory, I like it. In execution, I don't know if it works very well.
It's like the idea of doing like a psychological analysis of the criminal is so cool. But then they boil it down to like preschool level emotion. So it just kind of makes her seem like immature and stupid. And of course, Athena's gimmick is she's the youngest again. It's like, oh, well, you know, they kept doing that with the original Phoenix, right? With the prosecutors. It's like, well, this is actually the youngest prosecutor. Well, this, and then they do it with the defense attorneys too. Cause I think she's like 16, like she's still a high schooler in this one.
What's it called again? Oh, the mood matrix. Yeah, you basically you listen to testimony, and then you have to point out when the witness has a mood that conflicts with what they should be feeling. And by doing that, you basically push the smiley face that equals the mood. There are only four emotions in the case of this trial, but I feel like they're always trying to find new things to do.
This
is kind of a reach, I think.
Like, again, it was like, it's like an interesting idea to have this emotional system, but they couldn't execute it in an interesting way.
What I don't like about this is it's based on technology. So it kind of breaks the theme of like the spiritual aspect that we had before in the past, past games with like Phoenix with the Magatama.
Yeah.
And the Cyclock and stuff, and then Apollo with his magic bracelet, and then suddenly have with this like amazing technology. Although that happens in Investigations as well, and I don't mind that as much for some reason. I don't know, but like Maddie, you brought like that her gimmick is also like, oh, she's a very young girl. Like these token girls of the game keep getting younger and younger until they get like Iris and Grace Attorney, who's like nine years old or whatever. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, come on.
Least she is not in court with you.
No,
like working
but still,
with you.
I was like, come on.
But I remember.
At this rate, we're gonna have a literal baby.
I think that's actually one of Awkward Zombies comics. I think it the prosecutor progress until it's just like an infant.
I remember that. Yeah.
This baby's unprofessional.
Like, can we have one mature woman like helping us out?
I know.
That's who Emma was, I guess, but no one took
the They killed the one mature woman in the series immediately in the first game.
Right, that's right, yeah.
So I do want to point out that I feel like after a bit, these games do start taking from Danganronpa a little bit. And one thing I like in this game is at the end of a trial, there's this thing called the revisualization mechanic. And it's essentially a multiple choice summary of the entire trial. I do like that to put things in context. Like, here is everything that happened, because usually in Phoenix Wright games, you're working on one thing at a time. And yeah. Then rarely do you get the full context of the entire crime.
It is nice, especially if you're playing the game for a while too, and you kind of don't remember everything. So you can get a little summary and it'd be like, oh yeah, this is everything that's happened.
Yeah. And I do like that element of that game, of this game. But
I think that ends up going kind of feeding into the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles as well.
It's in Investigations as well.
Mm. Oh,
when,
yeah.
Edgeworth is putting together the case in his head.
That's right. Yeah, it's good. And also they catch up with modern like visual novel mechanics. Like, there's a backlog you can look at in this to see what text have you seen lately in the game. Just like if you want to look at old dialogue and stuff. It's just catching up to modern standards, but I still like it. But yeah, it's a letdown. We can't linger too long on this, but we mentioned something about a villain. And from what I remember, there is no villain in the game. The villain is a concept.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it's like a weird reveal. You're kind of like, it's not super satisfying. So
no. Yeah, that sounds like a spoiler, but it's not, because you'll never see it coming and you won't understand it when it happens. You'll just be like, oh, okay.
Exactly.
But, it doesn't really matter who the villain is, in a sense.
Yeah. And that's why it just kind of felt disappointing. You're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, but again, the DLC case, we mentioned it was good, but we didn't mention the fact that you're a phoenix and you get to defend a killer whale who's been accused of murder, which is just fantastic. And there's a doctor with like a little penguin in his hair and just good stuff.
And can we say who comes back in that case? Is that a spoiler?
Because I don't remember.
Pearl.
Oh, okay.
She comes back in 6 anyway, so I don't think it's that much.
Okay,
of a
yeah, she comes back. I wish she changed a little bit more than she did. She just looks.
She just got it. She's exactly got a longer hair with a bead on
Sure. Yeah, I just kind of wish she matured a little bit more, but it was cool to have her back, and she makes for a good assistant.
Yeah.
It just felt like a much more simple case and back to basics. And I liked it a lot.
It's really good.
You could tell with that DLC case that they knew how they kind of fumbled the fifth game and they were getting back on track. So let's go to the next game. Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Spirit of Justice. This is the only one of these I got to review. I really enjoyed this game. I think it's a good return to form for this trilogy in giant quotes. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people, including my wife, didn't play this game because 3DS fatigue doesn't count, because 3DS fatigue had really set in. The Switch wasn't out yet, but I think a lot of people were just kind of tired of the 3DS and weren't looking at new releases. And it was a digital only release and the 3DS store is awful. And the system had about 2 years left of releases, but they were mostly published by Nintendo.
Wasn't Dual Destinies digital only?
Dual Destinies are both digital only.
That was disappointing.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
physical copies of these games.
Yeah, I'm not big on physical, but it also gave the games a second-class citizen status amongst people playing the stuff on 3DS. I do like this game. Mercifully, we don't get any new characters. Thank God. Athena's here. Apollo's here. Phoenix is here. We get all of their mechanics, but there are no new playable characters with new mechanics. Instead, the new mechanic is related to the trials and where they take place, and we can talk about that soon. But yeah.
And Maya's back for the first time.
Back. Edgeworth is back as well.
Yeah,
Edgeworth wasn't in 5 either, so.
It's very, it's fan servicey in a good way. It's like, here are the characters you like doing the things you like them to do, and the trials are all well-written, and I think the whole overarching story is surprising and good.
Yeah, I think this finally kind of, even though it's like, let's give Apollo another, like a third backstory, I think this is the most interesting they did for him. I think the, like the Korean country stuff with like the revolutionary, I love the revolutionaries. I think they're some of my favorite characters in the games. The animations, I think, even are better in this one. Like, some of them just like stick in my head so much because they're so expressive. The fact that they put it in this kind of fake country meant they could be really stupid with the names because they're like, well, they're in a fake language, so we can just make stuff up. And they're so because of that, they're like really stupid, but it also makes them really funny, I think. But yeah, no, I honestly, I really like this one. This is, I think I like this one more than Apollo Justice as well. I think I put it close to the original trilogy as far as how much I enjoyed it.
Glad you brought the name because, like, I only played half of this, but as soon as I started, the kid you get at the beginning, his name is I'll Be Your Guide. I'm like, come on, come on. Like,
It's
that's
so
too
on the
much.
nose, but
I
it's really
know.
stupid, but it's like I thought it was funny because it's
You
just like so blatant.
have
I
to
was like,
say the names
that's
out loud
so
and then.
stupid.
Some of them are hard. So there's a character who comes on later who's called Dots Aribal, and it's I like could not figure out for the life of me. And it's just supposed to be like that's a rebel, but I thought it was like a joke on like that's all folks or something, and I was like, what is this? But yeah, some of them, and there's one character who has like this really, really long name, and it's really funny, and like it's one of those names. I think it might even be a like a joke on the like classic Rakugo story with the kid with the really, really long name because it's like they have to say the whole thing every time.
Oh yeah,
I
I'm
will
glad you brought
say,
that up. Oh, go ahead, Nina.
oh, when I looked up their like, Japanese names later, I was like, okay, fine, that tracks, but it's still stupid.
Hey, they worked really hard for those groaners. And yeah, Maddie, you mentioned the Rakugo case. I like this game because up until this point, the localizers were like, "Oh yeah, they're American characters. This is America. It's all American, very, English languagey." Here they're going to like a fake Asian country. But when they're back in America, in big quotes, the one trial that Athena gets to do is all about the Japanese art of Rakugo storytelling. And they have to explain how this works to the American player, give the full context for it, but it's still taking place in Japanifornia or whatever they call their version of the setting. And it works, but I feel like they included that to punish the American localizers.
That's one of my favorite cases though. Usually like 'cause it's the fourth case and it's the court only case, which usually is it's kind of like supposed to be kind of a break in the game between like the big long cases, and it's usually kind of a weaker case, but I honestly think it's one of the strongest ones in the game, and it gives Athena and Simon a chance to kind of really stand out.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention that we'll talk about them soon, but the Miles Edgeworth games, they established like there will be five cases, and then the main games pick that up. So Ace Attorney 5 has five cases, so does 6, and the Greatest Attorney games each have five cases. And I believe the
Well,
Leighton versus
three
Wright.
had five cases though as well.
Oh, you're right about that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's only the first two had four originally, and then Trials and
Apollo
Tribulations
Justice has
had
four, I'm pretty
five.
sure.
Oh, okay. So I guess they kind of went back and forth.
But from Miles Edgeworth on, I think it's just five across the board. So yeah, this the premise of this game is that after the first trial, you go to this fictional country. They have zero respect for lawyers. They hate them to the point where every basically trial is a death sentence. And if the lawyer loses, they are also put to death. So the stakes are very high. I think that's again more like Danganronpa-y sort of like tension creating in which. The you are dead if you get this wrong. And the big new element of this is divination seances. So essentially, this is like things you've seen in past Ace Attorney games in which you're looking at surveillance footage. But in this case, the surveillance footage is coming from the perspective of the person that was killed. And you basically, if I remember this correctly, you have to point out what interpretations the prosecutor is getting wrong based on the spiritual surveillance footage from the victim.
I do like how suddenly it pivots to spirituality and not like hard science. That is kind of cool.
Because they are, they do take advantage of the fact that they're like, well, let's focus on, Kurain and this all the spirit medium stuff again, so.
It is funny how Kurain went from like just a village in Japan to a whole made-up country. That's pretty funny. But they made it work. It's kind of cool what they did.
Do you know Nina? Like, do you remember kind of, 'cause you said you only played half of it. So do you remember kind of what made you fall off?
Oh, I just kind of lost interest in a weird way. I kind of felt vindicated when recently I found out that like three other friends of mine who were like super into Ace Attorney all fell off halfway through Spiral Justice because we couldn't get into it.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, so it's not just me then. Yeah. I don't know what it is about it. Like, we all just kind of fell off of it, apparently. Mm. I do want to finish it eventually, though, because I've played so many of these games. I feel loyal to the series. I do want to see this through till the end. That and, like, Great Ace Attorney as well, because I haven't played the second one.
Yeah, I couldn't put this game down. And I was, really? I was reviewing it, but I was forced to play it.
You literally couldn't put it down. It was your job to play it.
It was a game I didn't mind playing very quickly for review because I just I was just happy after 5 that it was this good.
Yeah.
And I feel like, after 5, I thought this could just be the end of the series.
I lost interest after 5. I was like, no more. Because every time a new game came out, I would buy the Japanese version and the English version. And that's a lot of time and money invested in this. And after the 5th one, I was like, I'm done with this. I don't want to do this anymore. But then I heard 6 was good. So I'm like, okay, fine. I'll get this.
Yeah, I think so. I think part of it is I think the characters are just really good in this game. They're a lot of fun. And
yeah, there's an actual villain. The stakes are very high. The new setting is cool. It's as challenging as one of these games should be. I remember I had to look up solutions for a few of the divination seances because I feel like there's a lot of like wiggle room in those segments that you could easily present any number of things and kind of be right. But that's an issue with a lot of these games. But I do feel like good return to form, Maddie. Sorry.
I was going to say one thing that I think was exciting about this game. I think this is the first case, so it's like kind of a minor spoiler, but it's not huge. But it's the first time we get to see Maya summon a male instead of a female, which was that people, like, you know, fans had like drawn stuff about for so long, and it was always kind of this idea that people had, and it's the first time we get to see Maya, you know, get a different spirit in her, which is, and one that's just like, it's kind of like this weird old monk, which is really funny. And so it's they kind of fulfilled some of those like ideas that fans had for a long time.
That's cool.
Yeah, I forgot about that. And yeah, Maya is back in what feels like fan service, but they actually do new things with her. And yeah, I guess to track
except,
from this...
Except she's accused of murder again, so it's kind of the same also.
She has that problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess the worst thing you can say about this game is that it's a lot of fan service to try to get people back on board. But it worked on me. And I feel like there is an inherent dignity to this that is not present in 5, which was a huge overreaction to 4. We don't quite have 7 yet, any announcement, but I feel good about where the game could go after this, the series could go after this, because everything just works so much better. And I feel like even Athena, like you said, Maddie, the third case in this game, or the fourth or whatever one is her court only case, it feels like, this is what you should have done with this character before. The mood matrix stuff works better here with this trial. I just feel like maybe Yamazaki got a chance to take a vacation or something, but it does feel like a real return to form. And I assume a lot of people miss this, and this will be their first time playing this game when they play through the trilogy again.
Oh, Bob, remember when we watched Rashomon for the first time together, and all we can think about was Ace Attorney?
Hey, I assume that was a big unspoken of influence on the series.
It probably was an influence because of the spirit medium, like... speaking as the dead in a
court
trial.
Yes, that's it. That's it.
That's what made us think of it.
Or it's actual Japanese history. Who knows?
Oh, it could be. I never really looked into it, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was an actual thing that happened.
So yes, A Spirit of Justice, very good.
Thank you.
Moving on to the spinoffs, we have the Miles Edgeworth series, which began in Japan in 2009 and came over here in early 2010. So at this point in history, the Ace Attorney series is so relatively popular. There are four games out. It finally gets a spinoff. And this game focuses on crime scene investigation, you know, one of the most popular TV series in America. So it makes sense. And it was originally going to star Emma Skye, the forensic detective from the introduced in the added case in the DS release of the first game. But Miles Edgeworth, simply too popular to ignore. So he is put in charge and he is given a wacky sidekick in that his Maya is a ninja, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I'm okay with Kay. I mean, I remember a lot of people here like absolutely hated her when she came out. Like they accused her of being Mary Sue, and to a ridiculous point where I was like, "Well, she's a lot just like the other assistant characters." Though, like, I understand she seems like a kind of girl you wouldn't expect Edgeworth to be paired up with. That's kind of weird, but that's just how these games are, and I wouldn't have minded if Emma was with him. I would have maybe preferred that because I like Emma a lot and because she's so scientific and it kind of goes with his mindset.
Yeah,
more.
That's why Emma.
But Kay also uses science.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's because Emma and Maya kind of had that difference because Maya was the spiritual and Emma was the scientific. And then It's like, well, here's another one who's also science, I guess.
Yeah, I was surprised it wasn't Emma as his assistant in this game.
But it also kind of makes sense because Edgeworth is so into the Steel Samurai. Mm-hmm. So maybe he kind of likes that kind of weird spirit in her. Like maybe kind of reminds him of the Steel Samurai, which is like, left unsaid, but that's just my headcanon for it anyway. So I'm a big fan of these games.
So. Oh, really? Okay, so this is the one that I have only played half of. But part of it, I think, is when it came out, because this is one of the games I specifically remember the day I bought it, because I had just graduated from boot camp. And so it was like my first exit into the real world after 2 months. And so I bought this game and I bought Soul Silver. But then I went into tech school right after that, so I think I just like didn't have the energy to focus on it. And it's hard too because Edgeworth is my favorite character, so I was like super excited for this game. But for some reason, I don't know. I think I got through like about half of it, and then I just never finished it.
This game came out when I was insanely unemployed. I think I had been unemployed for close to a year at that point. It was right before I moved out to California, so every day I punched in at the playing Miles Edgeworth factory. That was my job for the day. And I did really enjoy this game. And I think my one issue with it was I feel like it was misrepresented by the press, because I feel like people saw screenshots of it and they were like, oh, it's a point-and-click adventure game. That's cool. It really isn't. I feel like the issue with this game is they try to think of new mechanics for Ace Attorney, but they really couldn't. So they just dress up existing ones in different presentations. I feel like you're kind of doing everything you were doing as Phoenix Wright, but you're just seeing things from a different angle, sometimes like literally.
Edgeworth is also my favorite character, so I was like super excited for this game. I distinctly remember when this game first came out in Japanese, because I had it on pre-order, so I was getting the physical copy of the game. But when the game came out, I was on a trip in Toronto visiting friends of mine, and while I was over there visiting friends, I downloaded the ROM in Japanese that just like came out the day the game dropped.
Wow.
And I was with friends who were also big Ace Attorney fans, so I was like, is it okay if I just play this game? And they're like, we're fine with that. So I just played through the game and I finished it in like a day and a half.
Oh my god.
Wow.
In Japanese.
That's amazing.
Yeah, the ROM of it. And then when I came home, the physical copy was waiting for me. But at that point, I already finished it. But I played it again and I played it in English, and I really like this one. Although I can't decide if I like this one more or the second one more, but we can talk about that later.
Yeah, I think the main deviation in this game compared to Ace Attorney is that there are no trials in a courtroom, so the flow of the chapters is less predictable. That's really the main deviation. It's sort of like if you ever see the anime Detective Conan or read the manga, every crime must be solved while the body is still warm. Everyone is around the corpse or whatever. They never even bother going to court. It has to be solved there. And that's sort of what happens in Miles Edgeworth.
Maybe that's why I like it so much. Maybe because it's like those old mystery series like Detective Conan or Kindaichi or, say, Columbo, which I only just started recently watching. because there's no court. So, like, you kind of have to assume that the murderer is going to be put through a trial, like, later, and then have his their sentence, which is kind of weird, but you just kind of have to assume that.
Yeah, they never cover that on Conan, the follow-up trial, and if they were found innocent or guilty.
Yeah, or in Kindaichi either, but you just kind of have to assume it, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I prefer. Maybe the court system is too formal for me. Maybe I just
that's
someone being yelled at in a room.
Yeah, with this game, they don't really come up with new mechanics. It's sort of like refining old ones or presenting old ones in a new way. There's something called the logic system in which evidence is not just physical items, it's ideas, it's concepts, and you can combine them to either, you know, eliminate old evidence you don't need or come up with stronger evidence. But essentially, you're doing the same Ace Attorney style things. And I remember having a good time with this game. Unfortunately, my one lingering memory is the final enemy in the game just takes forever to take down.
There are all of these final argument in this game.
Yeah, there are just he steps out of danger about 8 times when you think you've nailed him, and it might be 3 or 4 times too many. Like, I love those moments in Ace Attorney, especially in the Great Ace Attorney series. But it just happens too much in that final trial.
Spoilers: the villain is a he, huh?
Oh well, he looks like
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
That's also what I remember.
Most of the time, it's a he. No, there is one new thing though. There's Kay can recreate the crime scene.
Right, right. And it's sort of like the evidence collecting thing in the other games. The evidence, it's like investigating.
You get to, like, walk around in a virtual version like a 3D of the crime scene.
Yeah.
It's a lot like what Iron Man can do in the MCU movies. I hate to bring the MCU in here, but when I saw that in the movie, I was like, this is just like Ace Attorney Investigations, because he recreates the crime scene, so to speak.
Well, Iron Man came first, the movie, so maybe it was inspired by that.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, 2008.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, very close. Well, they're probably already working on the game, though, at that time.
Could be. But yeah, I forgot about, like, they do include some 3D elements, and that's one of them. They move investigations into 3D in which you're looking through, like, a simulation of the environment instead of actually looking at the environment. But then there's also things that are just very superficial, like, you can actually move Edgeworth around on a screen. There's like little sprite graphics for him, his entire body. You're moving around landscapes, not from the first person perspective, but from that third person. So I think people saw that and got the wrong idea, when it really just plays out like an Ace Attorney game, but in a slightly different way.
Yeah, even though I fell off this, I still remember, like, distinctly when I played it for the first time, because it had been a while since I played an Ace Attorney game. I don't know how many years it was between this and Apollo Justice. It was a couple years at least, right?
Yeah, it was 3 years. It was 3 years.
Okay, yeah, so it'd been a while. So it was like, you know, it was kind of in the Ace Attorney drought, and I, you know, hadn't super been into Ace Attorney for a while. But I remember playing it and just the dialogue and everything. And I'm like, oh, these are the characters I love again. And the humor and everything was there. And so even though I didn't finish this one, I still have really positive memories of it.
Do you remember how far you got?
I think I was in the third case. I think I definitely finished the first two. So
third case, is that the flashback?
I don't remember. I don't remember that much.
Well, because that's what I remember. There's the
there's a okay because I
flashback
the first one. Okay, I don't think I did. I get to the flashback because the first case is like the plain one, and the second one I think is like the blue badger one. So I might not have made it. I feel like if I had gotten to the flashback, I would have been really excited.
Yeah, that's the third one. I think it's the third one. I guess mild spoilers to anyone who hasn't played it. I don't want to give away like plot points, but third case is a flashback case where you are the young Edgeworth.
Glamorous.
You see in his like super fancy pants suit that you see in a previous game. You're young Edgeworth, and you have like young Franziska as your assistant. Mm-hmm. Which is
actually
awesome.
I forgot about that. I completely forgot about the flashback.
Yeah. That's so
really cool.
Great.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like if I had gotten to that point, I would have really been into it. So maybe I just stopped shy of it. Maybe I finished the second case and then something happened. Who knows?
Yeah, just getting more like Edgeworth lore was like worth it for
because
me.
I think he's always been a fan favorite, and he is so different to Phoenix, his personality, his background and everything. So I think it is really nice to see him.
In fact, at this point, we know more about Edgeworth than we know about Phoenix.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you don't
know
get
more
it.
About his background.
All we know about Phoenix's background is he was like a goofy kid in a pink sweater. So,
yeah, that's true. I guess we did get his flashback with him at least, but we don't know what his like parents were like.
Yeah.
Or anything. We don't get to play as him in a flashback.
That's why Edgeworth is more interesting, because he does have like this whole traumatic childhood and stuff. Whereas Phoenix, I think, mm-hmm. is just kind of a normal guy for the most part. he probably had nice normal parents and just kind of normal childhood and
just one bad kind of girlfriend.
Yeah,
I guess.
But like, who doesn't, right? Who doesn't have one of those murderous girlfriends in college?
We can move on to the second game, because this is the one that I haven't played. So
also, I haven't also, because this is the only one that doesn't have an official translation.
I love this one.
So the fan translation came out in June of 2014. I hear it's very good. Unfortunately, the last time I was unemployed was 2013, and that's when I was playing a lot of great fan translations. Like, I finally played through Psychonauts and a few other big fan translations. Oh, sorry, not Psychonauts, Police Knots.
Okay.
Different authorities.
But
if that had come out in 2013, I would have appreciated it. But unfortunately, it came out in 2014. And yeah, to date, the one Ace Attorney game that has not been officially localized, because it came out in Japan in February of 2011. And Capcom saw this as a losing proposition, because any new DS games are being pirated. And this is a costly localization with lots and lots and lots of text. And even Nintendo was barely publishing DS games by 2011. There was things like Kirby Mass Attack and a few other things. But DS was not where you want it to be 7 years after its launch. And Nina, you have played it. Is it as good as people say it is? Or is that just the I can't have it bias?
Well, like I mentioned, I can't decide whether I like this one more or the first game more, because I think the first game is stronger in terms of mechanics, especially because it's the first Ace Attorney game where you can you move around as sprites, going to different like rooms and like going up to objects and examining them. That's really exciting. That was fun. In the second game, it limits you a lot more. Like when you get to the investigation part, you're usually confined to just one room, which is kind of disappointing, but I guess it, in a way, it's good because it kind of limits you to what you can see, so it makes it a little bit easier, for better or for worse. But to make up for that, I think the story and characters are a lot stronger in the first game. So it depends on what you're looking for when you're playing.
I definitely hear when I hear people talk about it, they seem to prefer the second one. I guess just because it does have a stronger story. Have mm-hmm. you? Because obviously you've played it in Japanese. Have you checked out the fan translation at all?
I haven't played the fan translation, but from what I've seen, it's really well done. Like when they were first starting out, I would watch like YouTube videos of it and go like, oh yeah, this is really solid. So I would recommend it.
It's definitely, I mean, I think there was actually fairly recently an article came out about it, maybe about the time of Great Ace Attorney Chronicles, because they were talking about the localization of that. But like the effort, like everything that they had to put into making the fan translation, including just like the technical aspects and everything, is really extraordinary. So it's, mm-hmm. you can definitely tell that it was a really incredible passion project, and these people who did it cared a lot about it.
I trust them. From what I've seen, it looks great. I would endorse it. Like Bob, you mentioned the ending of the first game is a big slog, because that just final confrontation takes such a long time, and I've never heard anyone defend that. Like everyone hates that part. Whereas the final villain of the second game is great. And the final confrontation is amazing.
Yeah.
So definitely worth it.
I think one of the plot threads in the second one is, do you get to play as Gregory Edgeworth? As Edgeworth's dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get to play as Edgeworth's really dad. Cool. It's amazing.
He's a defense attorney, which is, I think when people talk about the plot, how strong it is, I think that's like a major part of it.
Yeah, that's super cool.
One thing that the first Edgeworth game did that I heard this game does as well is that every case is actually related, and it builds one big story, which was not the case for Ace Attorney in general, because there'll be some filler cases and some, you know, main plotline cases. But I hear that, you know, it's cool in one, but in two, it's very interesting.
Yeah, like I don't require that of these games. Like I don't care if some cases are totally unrelated to the rest of the cases, but it is pretty cool once you see everything come together. If I had one bad thing to say about the second game, it's, I guess the main antagonist of the second game is kind of weak. She's not a prosecutor, she's a judge. She's a female judge, which is a cool concept, but I don't know, I just find her kind of a weak character and kind of annoying. It's hard to explain why I don't like her too much. Like, maybe it's her design. She has an enormous boobs. I feel like they kind of focus on it a lot.
That is her personality.
And beyond that, she doesn't have much of a personality. Yeah, yeah, she's kind of boring. There's also, like, no, there is also a rival prosecutor who's, like, this supposed to be, like, this, like, young prodigy, but he's actually, like, a complete idiot. But because of his privilege, because of his lineage, they treat him as, like, oh, he's, like, this genius prosecutor. But you can tell he's just, like, super stupid. And, like, he was born with, like, you know, silver spoon in his mouth. And you kind of get to take him down a little. And that's pretty satisfying.
Okay, cool.
And what about Logic Chess? The main mechanic
in this
game.
I really like Logic Chess. I forget that that wasn't in the first game.
Can you explain it a little more?
Yeah, I want to know more about this.
I mean, the chess part is such a big gimmick. It doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's just like you're refuting arguments with, like, evidence and arguments in your head. And they just kind of visually represent it with chess pieces.
Okay.
And that's it.
Okay, well, that's really cool. I mean, that's funny because it's just like taking right in the bonus case of when they ported the first Ace Attorney to DS. Edgeworth has a chessboard. And it's just like, it seems like they took
exactly,
that.
Yeah.
But he just has a chessboard in the office. They're like, well, let's just make this into a whole thing.
Yeah, well, the way he explains it in, like, the first case, when Logic Chess first comes up, he's like, well, you know, arguing is kind of like playing chess. And then you see him, like, visualizing as, like, using chess
dork.
Pieces. But, yeah, there's no, like, chess board or anything.
Okay.
It's just literally, like, chess pieces are representing his arguments.
Does he even actually know how to play chess?
I wonder. Yeah, I don't know. He might be making it up as it goes along.
It seems like a fun visual metaphor for an existing mechanic, and I
yeah,
do like that.
It does kind of
cool.
remind me of Danganronpa in that way.
Yeah, I always like that. I think I have more tolerance for that than you do, Nina.
I did
gently ask you to play through the entire Danganronpa series.
No, the difference between that is you don't actually have to platform. It's
yeah,
not like,
that's
say,
true.
What is that stupid game where you're going down a tunnel on a stupid skateboard and you have to, like,
well,
jump?
If it's
gaps.
A stupid game, it could be any of them.
I'm sorry. I really hate the minigames in Danganronpa so much.
I'll let our listeners know that you chose to play that game with a keyboard and mouse, so.
Would it have made much of a difference if I used
yes.
a controller?
Yes,
really?
It would have. Yes.
I'm skeptical.
We'll let everyone else weigh in the comments. We're going to move on, though, to what I feel like is a strangely overlooked entry in the series because it shares its title with another series, and that's Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney. And if you look at the very, very big gulf of time between the Japanese and US releases, it feels like we almost didn't get this game in English, which I feel is very strange because Layton and Wright were modest DS hits that really proved, like, oh, here are different kinds of games you can play now with these two screens. But by the time the 3DS came around, I feel like localization budgets were a little more stingy when it came to things like this.
I think everyone came here because of Layton.
I think you're right, yeah.
Because wasn't Layton better selling than Ace Attorney games?
And probably at this point it was. I feel like when they first came out, like I mentioned before, when Phoenix Wright first came to America, it was like a surprise hit and it was like sold out everywhere. They had to reprint it and stuff. But I think probably once we got into this era, Layton was still pretty strong, whereas the Ace Attorney series had fallen off a bit.
I think the Layton series is weaker than the Ace Attorney series.
I agree.
Yeah, me too.
But I think this crossover it might be like my first or second favorite game on the 3DS. I think
this
game
really
is phenomenal.
Game.
Yeah, in terms of rankings in the series, it's up there, like in the top three or top four for me.
It's kind of like you kind of imagine Phoenix Wright and Layton together and it sounds really cool, but then when it's executed, it's just as amazing as it sounds. Like
it sounds like a dream.
Yeah, they just meld together so perfectly. And it's like, and I think that's one issue I have with the Layton series is you get tired of all the puzzles. You get kind of, your brain gets kind of tired and it's like, okay, I'm trying to solve this bigger mystery. And then it's like, here, make this car exit the parking lot. And you're like, okay. But then when you mix it together with the Phoenix Wright stuff, it's more the pacing of the game seems a lot better. And
yeah,
it just, and like the setting of this game is super weird, but it's really fun. And I think because it's like a non-canonical game, they were able to kind of go wherever they wanted with it. So they made this kind of fantasy, like royalty knight setting. And it's just a lot of fun, I think.
It looks great too.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It, production values are great in this game.
I was shocked that it came over here. When it was announced for localization, I was like, whoa, really? Okay.
Yeah, it came out in Japan in November of 2012. It came out here in August of 2014, so nearly 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it feels like Capcom and Level 5 struggled to figure out how to integrate the two styles of gameplay, so they decided, let's not do that. Instead, this game plays out in that the investigation segments are really Layton's game, and he does his puzzle thing. And I honestly found the puzzles in this one a bit easier than the rest of the Layton series, but that's fine because
some of those
puzzles drive me insane, and I want to like Layton more than I do.
And then Layton's like really condescending. It's like you finally solve it after like 900 moves, and then Layton's like, you could solve that in 12 moves, you know? And you're like, shut up, yeah.
That man's a liar. and then in court, Phoenix is doing his court thing. And all the cases are really well done. This is written by Shu Takumi, obviously, and Hino, the level 5 guy. But I really feel like Takumi is in charge of the trial scenes. And some of the other games, it Danganronpa's things up in which all of the trials in this are witch trials, in which the witch on trial is immediately like just dumped into an incinerator if they lose the trial. And
which is shocking when you see it happen.
It's, literally like a trap door and they just fall. You're like, whoa.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God.
It is. The first time they show it, it is really shocking. You're just like, it's cool. It's really cool.
She got straight up murdered. Oh my God.
Yeah.
There is no death row in this world. It's a medieval world, and that aspect is poorly explained by the weird ending. We can kind of maybe mention that later, but this game introduces the mob trial system in which you have multiple witnesses at once. There's still one judge, but you have multiple witnesses, and you have to question them all, and then you have to see how they react to each other's testimony, and it's very cool. And that just provides like more opportunities for different things to happen in court compared to previous games.
Yeah, I was thinking one of the reasons I think this one is overlooked, I mean, I can't really speak for when it came out, but very quickly the physical release got super expensive, and the digital release never goes on sale because it is not part of the Capcom, which would always, you know, like during the 3DS, the eShop, the Capcom, the Ace Attorney games would go on sale for like 50% off, 75% off all the time. This one never went on sale. It was always full price.
Yeah, I think that's because it was published by Nintendo and they never do that. Even in the dying days of the 3DS, I did buy a few games for $40 just because there was no way to do it otherwise.
I think the price point and the fact that it never got that discount is one of the reasons that it never even like got to have a second life past the initial release.
And in this game, production values are amazing. This has to have the highest production values in an Ace Attorney game. Animation is not quite up to what it would be in Dual Destinies and Spirit of Justice, but everything looks so good. The designs are so great. Nina, I'm pretty sure you have the art book for this game.
Oh, yeah. I got the art book immediately because I just loved the look of the game and the 3D models they use in this. And also the cutscenes, I think, look kind of different from the ones in Dual Destinies. I think it looks better, honestly. Mm. Something about the color palette they use. I guess to go with the medieval setting, maybe to match it more to Layton's color palette. It just looks better, and I like how the 3D models are made. The way they're shaded, it's less saturated, I think, mm-hmm. compared to Dual Destinies. You know, you probably know what I'm talking about, Maddie.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say, like, speaking of the art book, I think what the style they chose to go with the game is perfect, but it's also really fun to see when they were considering making the Phoenix Wright characters look more Layton-y, so you can see some of the art for that, which is really cool. But Layton has a very kind of, I don't know, more of like a Western, like the features of the characters are very exaggerated, and the Layton characters are a lot more cartoony, whereas Phoenix Wright is more of a standard kind of anime style. And
they
so,
look like different species.
And so like melding those two styles together, you know, it might seem like it might not work, but they just really figured it out, and it's excellent.
It helps that there were some characters in the Ace Attorney world that look so goofy and cartoony.
Yeah, the Ace Attorney characters, I think, got goofier as it went along, too, which was helpful. Mm-hmm. But it's like, even if you look at, like, Professor Layton, like, he just has, like, those little dot eyes. Like, he's a lot more cartoony. But one thing, they released, like, this really beautiful artwork for the 20th anniversary of Phoenix Wright with, like, a ton of the characters. And I was so excited because they also included characters from Layton versus Wright. I think it does, even though it's so fantastic, it does seem like it's still overlooked.
Yeah, even though Layton's name comes first in this game, it is a real Ace Attorney game with 5 real trials, mm-hmm. with lots of cool twists, and the mob trial thing is great, and then they'll double down on that with the Greatest Attorney series, in which you have multiple witnesses and multiple jury members to appease. So I feel like this is kind of where he wanted to take the series after 4, but he's finally doing it, let's see, 7 years later.
Also, one thing weird is the trailer for this game shows scenes that doesn't actually happen in the game.
Oh, that's strange.
Yeah, it is kind of weird.
Maybe it's like to prevent like giving away like spoilers or something.
Maybe. It feels like they promised more of a versus thing, like a rivalry between.
Well, that's what it's called, right? It's Phoenix. Called Layton versus, it's right? Which is weird. It should be called like and or something, because it's
meets.
I mean, like, Japan loves using like VS in their titles. Yeah. You know, it could have been X, but no, they chose to go with VS. And the trailer
it was X in America, though, they would have thought it was fancy.
Oh, that's true. That's different. Yeah. No. Like they made it seem like there was gonna be more rivalry, except in the actual game, they kind of get along like immediately.
Yeah.
They're best pals.
But they do. The dynamic works really well, and like you get the dynamic between Phoenix and Layton. You get the dynamic between Luke and Maya, and then kind of how those cross over. It just works out so perfectly.
Yeah, Luke and Maya getting along is very. It feels very natural.
Yeah.
Maybe
they
made the trailer. They were expecting more of a rivalry, but as they were writing it, maybe they were like, "Oh, actually, it makes more sense if they got." They go along.
I was going to say, Nina, it seems like the game had development problems. That they hint at it a bit in some of the extra content, like, oh, the teams didn't really get along with each other. I think they both had a different vision for what they wanted this game to be, which is why
I can see that.
Both games seem to now exist in their own territory. Like, the Layton thing is its own thing in a vacuum, and the Ace Attorney thing is its own vacuum in this game. And there are a few instances in which I see, like, the direction the game could have been, but they're not very good, in which you have to point out the contradiction in a puzzle that Layton is solving. It happens maybe a few times towards the end, and you're like, oh, I'm really glad you didn't think of a bunch of puzzles that do this, because this is bad. It just feels awkward.
Yeah, my biggest worry about this game before I played it was how much of it is going to be Layton, because I'm not a big fan of Layton series because of the BS puzzles. Like, there's a lot of things I don't like about that. Like, it's also the plot. Like, the ending of each Layton game is so like ridiculous to the point where it takes you off.
Well, of course I wouldn't have known that because it's stupid.
Mm-hmm. It's like you concealed all these things from me. It's not a twist if you hide important facts from me. You know, that's cheating. Yeah. So I kind of expected that from this game, and there's a little of that, but I was like, I'll forgive it because the stuff up to this point was really well done.
It's so fun and it's so well done that
at the end I was like, this is stupid as hell, but whatever. I expected this.
And I think maybe it is because it is like the non-canonical crossover. You kind of are a little more forgiving for it to be a little stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say that I love this game and recommend it if you can find it. It's totally worth playing. It's great. Great graphics, music, story, everything. This is one of the stupidest endings I've ever seen in a game. One of the stupidest endings I've seen in any kind of media, but I enjoyed the game so much, I was just like, whatever. I kind of saluted the audacity for how bad the ending is in terms of the big twist, but I enjoyed the entire game. There. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, what else were they going to do to explain all this nonsense? But
it's not as bad as some Layton twists I've seen, I gotta say. I've only played
a couple of the Layton games. The way stories are told in Phoenix versus Layton are completely different. So
I'll say this: I will spoil the first Layton game. The twist is everyone is secretly a robot. It doesn't matter that you know that because it doesn't make any sense. They just pulled that out of their ass. The twist in this game is worse, but I did not mind that at all.
It's worse, yes, but not as bad as some other Layton endings. Like I said,
yeah.
How do you feel about the prosecutor? It's not a prosecutor. The knight. In this game,
He's a little boring, but I just enjoyed the world so much it didn't really bother me.
He's just kind of a nothing character. He's just like a pretty boy,
just
like
beautiful.
Other
yeah.
He's very
nice hair.
He's very nice as well as a character. He's kind of like Clavier Gavin.
He's actually like sincere about kind of working together to solve the mystery rather than being an antagonist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like he's devoted to, like, because he's a knight, he's devoted to justice and the court, and it's nothing personal when he's against you in court, but it does make him kind of boring because that's just kind of all there is to him. But the overarching story is good until the end, and all the cases are just classic Ace Attorney cases written by Shu Takumi with that new mob trial system that, again, they'll double down on with the next games we'll talk about.
And the prologue sequence with all the drawings of, like, showing what happens to all the characters afterwards, it's very satisfying.
Yeah. And I wish this game will become available in some other format at some point. I hope it doesn't get lost to time, because it's like a one that I think a lot of people ignored or didn't think was actually a real Ace Attorney game. And I think I bought it out of habit, like, Wright's in this, I wonder what it is. And I was surprised, like, this is a real Ace Attorney game. They kind of hid that from me.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I honestly, like, having the greatest Attorney games on Switch, there is more hope, and getting the new trilogy, there is kind of hope that they're gonna bring this one over. But it is, I think there's always something difficult when it's like a crossover game, because then you have to get like both studios to like work together, then you also have like Nintendo's involvement and stuff. But I really hope more people have the chance to play this game, because it is phenomenal.
And Layton is making a return very soon, so who knows, maybe with the Layton resurgence there will be more demand for this game on a modern platform.
Wasn't this the first Ace Attorney game that has a jury system?
There are no jurors in this game. The next games have jurors and they have multiple witnesses.
Oh, so this has the multiple witnesses.
Yes, one. I don't believe it has the jurors. I think it just has the multiple witnesses.
But the multiple witnesses kind of act like a jury in a way.
So yeah, yeah.
It's
the first time you
get to like talk to multiple people.
It's kind of a similar concept where you have, like you're having these multiple people that are all talking at once.
In the next games we'll talk about soon, the jurors are no different than witnesses in terms of how they function. You have to sort of appease them, but you're trying to resolve problems but via conversations with a bunch of people in the courtroom instead of just one person at a time.
You have to like look around and see who's like acting suspicious during a certain testimony.
If they take notice of a certain testimony, you can then move over to them and question them, like, hey, why did you look over at him, what's going on here, things like that. Let's move on to the final games in our series here, the Great Ace Attorney series. So this came out in America a few years ago as the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles in English, but that's a compilation of two 3DS releases. There's the Great Ace Attorney Adventures, which came out in Japan in April of 2015, and the Great Ace Attorney 2 Resolve, which came out in Japan in 2017, both for the 3DS. And this is Shu Takumi returning to Ace Attorney with two new games that really are just one big game. And until 2021, it felt like these would never be released, because the modest popularity of the series and the cost of localization felt like this was a no-go at Capcom. And also rights issues. But I've played through both of these games, and honestly, I think in terms of Ace Attorney rankings, the series as a whole, Greatest Attorney, is number two on my list.
Wow.
I love this collection so much.
Yeah, I really love these games, but like you said, they are basically two halves of a whole game. So I think, Nina, you've only played the first one, right?
Because I got the short end of the stick. I played the Japanese one when it first came out, and then had to wait 2 years for the next one. And I've never played the second one.
Yeah, so I think we're very lucky in the U.S. to have gotten them as a set, because you don't get the really satisfying story stuff until the second game, because it is like two halves of a whole game. So all basically, if you put it in one case, the second game is like half of three all the way through five case in a normal Ace Attorney game. So that's when you get like the really good lore, the really good mysteries. But it is like 70 hours. So it's like, you do kind of have to earn it, but it is good. the first game is still good, but it really like earns its place through the second game.
I think this is the first time getting the game earlier in Japan was a curse instead of a blessing.
Yeah,
because it was a huge backlash.
Really sounds like it.
By Japanese fans after the first game came out.
Playing the first half and then immediately going to the second half was just so rewarding, because this is not a spoiler, I think, in terms of the structure of the second game. But the second game basically kind of relitigates a lot of the cases in the first one from a different perspective. Like, oh, you know, it's kind of like, how do I say this in a non-spoilery way, that your victories in the first half of this series are a little like underwhelming. You're like, well, I won, but not on the terms I wanted to win. I won, but I helped a bad person. And then in the second half of The Greatest Attorney, you kind of look at those cases again, but see, oh, there's a bigger picture here, and I can feel better about a different kind of victory within the same kind of context. I'm trying to be as vague as possible, but I feel like these games have to be played back to back, and I really feel bad for the people in Japan. I would not have retained any of this information 2 years later with a second game.
Yeah,
release.
It's definitely like I understand why they had to make it two games, because it is like two 30-40 hour games, but they just like, yeah, they that it just sucks that you could only play half of a game basically at first.
They should have called it like part one or something.
Yeah,
been honest,
yeah,
but,
definitely.
I mean, like, okay, so I have not seen, Bob and I have not seen Into the Spider-Verse yet, but I feel
yeah,
like the reaction is the same, where apparently it's like, it's not, the doesn't complete the story. A lot of people watch the movie not knowing that, so they felt very cheated at the end when they were like, what? It's not over? And we have to wait like at least 2 years for the next one. I think it's a kind of similar thing going on here, except in this case, in the case of Ace Attorney, people didn't know about that until they played the game. Whereas some people online knew that Into the Spider-Verse is part one of a two-part story. Mm-hmm. But like the players of Great Ace Attorney didn't know about this. So then when you got to the end, you spent all this time playing the game. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah, it's like it doesn't, like you don't even get the mystery solved. That's so,
exactly.
that's really unfortunate. I like can completely understand why Japanese people would be so sour about getting basically an unfinished game.
It's still a miracle though that he was allowed to follow that first game up and complete the story. It felt like the first half of Greatest Attorney was very unpopular because of the giant cliffhanger, because of it was basically an incomplete game.
And it's also the cases in it are a little mediocre, because they do seem like the, you know, the first cases of the game, which aren't quite as exciting. And I think one issue I had with the first game is a lot of the characters aren't particularly likable. They're kind of all like crappy British people, and you're like, oh, I don't really care about what happens.
I agree.
there's a lot of racism and stuff, and so it's like a lot of racism toward the Japanese characters, and so you're just kind of like, oh, these people kind of suck. I don't really care about them. But the main cast, though, I think is really fantastic.
Yeah. I think because of the change in setting, though, I do enjoy just how many scoundrels there are in this game. And they have a lot of fun with these crazy British characters in terms of their design and their animation.
Yeah.
I love the setting.
Oh, I don't know if they're in the first or the second game? There's like the pair of brothers. There's like the tall one and they have like the mustache, and the little one has like these big chubby cheeks, and his animations are just like so charming because he has these little chubby cheeks that wiggle about. And yeah, some of the animations are really fun. They're like really taking advantage of the 3D.
Well, we are kind of bearing the lead here, because the guest star in this game is Herlock Sholmes, because until January 1st of this year, not every Sherlock Holmes story was in the public domain. Now it's free to use him in any context you want. But the copywritten version of the character you could not use, it was the Sherlock Holmes that expressed emotions, because that is how he's characterized in the later stories, which were not in the public domain until 2023. And that was the issue with this game. The cost of localization, the dying 3DS market in the States, and the Sherlock Holmes thing. But with just some careful like letter rearranging, they were able to make this happen in America. And I remember talking to Capcom people off the record in like 2016 saying, oh, there's an Ace Attorney game, and why aren't you bringing it over? And they're like, honestly, it's the Sherlock Holmes thing. It could be opening a can of worms. We don't want to be in court over this, because apparently the Doyle estate was very litigious up until the end when it came to these kinds of stories.
But they felt okay with, like, calling him Sherlock Holmes in Japan, because they're like, oh, the Doyle Estate is never going to be able to play this and understand this, I guess.
I guess he's technically like Holmesu, which is a different person, right?
Yeah, right.
I think that is one thing that is really funny, because when you do play the localized version, you get this character named Herlock Sholmes, and you're like, oh, he's funny. He's like a parody of Sherlock Holmes. And then when you look at the Japanese one, you're like, oh, he's just Sherlock Holmes. Like, he's not, he doesn't have a different name, which is really funny to think about.
I love mystery novels. I love mystery games. I have not really read a lot of Sherlock Holmes, and I feel like a lot of the cases are references to Holmes novels and short stories.
Yeah, they reference like the dog one. They reference the whatever the collar one is, also this whatever the second case on the ship with like the spotted collar or something. They all like kind of, and like they have like an intro sequence that's like a reference to like an actual Sherlock Holmes tale, and then it kind of twists it into something else.
Yeah, I could tell like either Takumi or like someone on the project was a big Holmes nerd, because it's very faithful to.
I think it's pretty popular in Japan.
Yeah, too. Yeah. One thing I will point out that I noticed immediately is that this is a monumental localization, because they were forced to keep the Japanese cast Japanese people from Japan. They could not just give them all jokey English names, and because most of the game takes place in England, they can have more fun there. But your main character is not, you know, a name referencing the law. It's Ryonosuke. Is that his name?
Ryonosuke Naruhodo. He's still Naruhodo,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And they keep it Naruhodo. And in the game itself, within the text of the game itself, I don't think they ever say, well, naturally, you know, this is Phoenix Wright's ancestor, and here's his story. They never point that out. You just have to kind of understand, like, well, I guess this is who this is. Even though the designs are the same and the animations are the same, they have the dignity of saying this is its own thing, and you can pretend in your head this is Phoenix's ancestor, and it kind of is, but we're not going to have a lot
really
of fun
matter,
with that.
Right?
Yeah.
So. It is cool, though, because now this means the American Phoenix Wright has Japanese ancestry.
Yeah.
Whereas he did not before. When they localized him, they took
so
away
funny.
His Japanese name.
They also changed his eye color.
I was about to say, yeah, they gave him like blue eyes instead of brown.
Yeah,
they whitewashed him for lack of a better
term.
Oh
yeah, they changed his eye color.
It
yeah,
so,
that's true.
I remember so much of it because like the Japanese fan art would make them like separate characters. They're like, well, this is Naruhodo right. with brown eyes, and this is Phoenix with blue eyes.
I mean, they didn't need to go that far. Like, there can be American white people with brown eyes.
It is really weird. I wonder who decided that. That's such a strange
I don't think
you
would be allowed to do that today. People
yeah.
would
yeah,
not
I mean,
be happy with that.
You could just see how much game localization has changed in 15 years, where we're okay
yeah.
with Japanese names, Japanese characters. I think in Danganronpa they weren't allowed to change the names, but like no one was put off by that. By it's like, oh, it's a Japanese
yeah.
school, Japanese people, Japanese name. Sure. In this case, they had no choice. They could not give him a jokey name or Susato a jokey name or any of his the Japanese characters. They had to stick with their actual names, which I don't think. Is his name, are these names puns in Japanese, Nina, the Japanese names?
Oh, it's like almost the same, because
Phoenix
is
Ryuichi,
right? Yeah.
So they made him Ryunosuke. They gave him, like,
it's almost exact same name.
Old-timey, kind of, with the suke ending.
Yeah, like, Ichi is, like, a common ending for
yeah.
a male name, first name, and Nosuke
is like a more traditional,
archaic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
okay,
it's almost
yeah.
exact same name.
So they probably could have called him like Falcon Naruhodo or something if they wanted to. But no, I like that they were kind of forced into adhering to the original names. And like I said earlier, I read a lot of old mystery novels. And one thing I like about this setting is it gets rid of technology, which makes the mysteries harder to write but more interesting in that you don't have modern technology. You don't have computers. You don't have cell phones. You have rudimentary, cameras. That's kind of it.
Yeah,
and I do
and
like
you
that
also
setting.
Don't really have a lot of the spiritual stuff either, so they do feel a lot more of a traditional murder and mystery, which is a lot of fun.
There are times when Holmes will kind of bring out new technology that should not exist in the
yeah,
time period, but
yeah.
I will say, the little girl character is a inventor, so why not?
Yeah, it's fine. It's not enough to like take you out of it.
They changed Iris's last name from Watson to Wilson, I guess also for copyright
yeah.
evasion. Watson, the name Watson itself isn't copyrighted, right? Because she's a totally different character.
Watson is a character in Sherlock Holmes, and in this game, Iris is his assistant. So I feel like even if they changed his name, giving him an assistant called Watson would be grounds for probably something. Lying. A cease and desist. Yeah. They wanted to play it very safe. Okay. Very, very safe. Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, we have the whole mob trial here from Leighton versus Wright. And that's why that game, I feel like, is secretly important, because it does inform what has been the evolution of the series, where there's the mob trial thing where you have multiple witnesses are giving testimony at the same time. And then you also have this jury system, which was hinted at in Ace Attorney 4, where you have a number of jury members you must appease who will often chime in during the trial. And I believe, like, you appeasing them is a separate gameplay segment, but them being present and being wild characters adds to the trials, because they will often chime in. They'll be running jokes because they're not rendering an entire new jury for every trial. There are running jokes about how the same people end up on the jury every time. Yeah, which I like.
I think the fact that they joked about that later, because like the first time it happens you're like, why do they keep having the same jurors? But then they like kind of cheekily make references to it, so you're kind of like, okay, they like obviously they did this because it was like limitations, but it's like they kind of realized that it was kind of silly that they're keep reusing it, so they made it part of the game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, in terms of resources graphically, in terms of having to write new characters for every trial, they were smart about how to reuse the characters. But it adds so much. It does make the trials go on for a very long time. It's the one downside.
It is one thing, because you do have this system where there's, like, this like, scale with fire on it, and it's like you have to balance this fire based on what the jurors think, and it goes back and forth so many times, like... It's not just you just don't have to just convince them once. It just like keeps going back and forth, and you're like, okay, I convinced them, and it's like, but wait. And so a couple of the trials do go on a little too long in that respect.
Right. They gotta put in a visual metaphor. totally necessary.
It's so bizarre. It's like the jurors each have these little flames, and they like slam on their desk, and the flame like launches into this fire scale. You're like, what is happening?
So ridiculous. Just put in a health bar like the past games.
It does fill the game with more, as you would say, Maddie, British assholes. But yeah. the game is full of them. Like I love how antagonistic everyone is to you immediately,
is,
and I think
it gives the racist
angle too.
Yeah, it gives it its own personality compared to the other Ace Attorney games, which is nice.
I really feel like people would be more racist to the main character and his Japanese friends in that time period.
Oh yeah.
But I feel like the way it's presented is elegant, and it does give you more to be up against as a Japanese person in early 20th century London. And one of the recurring characters is like a famous Japanese poet who's a total sad sack, and I love him.
Really funny, because a lot of Americans don't realize that Soseki is like a real author, because we obviously Japanese people all learn about him in school because he's like one of the most famous authors in Japan. But then for Americans, you're just like, oh, who's this like wacky Japanese writer? And then like I think maybe half the people who play don't even realize he's a real guy.
I am running out of steam a little bit here, but I can't say enough how good this game is. Like, I don't know if people ignored this or not. I don't know how well it's sold. It's almost always on sale for like $20. And like you said, Maddie, this is like an 80-hour experience.
Yeah.
So I played this game. This is the only game I played from like July to October of 2021. It was a big undertaking, but it was very, very satisfying by the end.
It is. It's super rewarding. I think one thing, the mechanic I particularly love about this game is when you are doing investigations, Sherlock will basically tell this really stupid version of events, and you have to correct his version. And I think that's one of the most interesting mechanics in the game.
Oh, yeah, that's a great point. I forgot about that mechanic. And having to have him come up with the wrongest conclusions ever must have been a challenge, but it's also very fun to take them apart piece by piece.
Yeah, and he is, I think he is such a good character, and he's really different than other detective characters because he is very stupid, but he's kind of smart somewhere underneath all the stupidity, and he's kind of very arrogant, but he's also very nice. And one of my favorite parts is like you'll just be looking around a scene and he'll just be like somewhere in like a corner being a weirdo, and that's like how he's introduced to you in like every case.
Yeah, I did like that mechanic, and I do like him as a character a lot.
I feel like they went their own direction with Holmes because he is not that character in any of the stories I read. He's usually like serious and mean, and he's not like the very emotional, whimsical character in this. But that's fine because it works with the setting and it works with just having just a fun person to be around. I don't think it would be fun to be around the actual Holmes as a sidekick. But yeah, definitely recommended. In case you're wondering, these are real Ace Attorney games. And the way this ends, it feels like there could be more of this. I don't know if this was popular enough for them to make more, but the end of this game leaves it open for there to be further adventures in this setting with these characters. And I would love to see more because I feel like they really figured out where to take the series here. It felt like it took like a very long time after the original trilogy. But here I feel like they figured it out after doing some experiments with Layton and Wright.
Yeah,
this does feel like where it should be.
I'm curious, Nina, do you know if the second game had a positive reaction or if like the combined trilogy was successful in Japan at all? Or
It seems like after the second game came out, people kind of came around to it and they're like, okay, I'm satisfied now. After
playing, I guess
the
fact
people
that,
who did get the second game.
Yeah, I guess the fact that they were able to release the Switch port of it means that it was popular enough for them to justify that.
Mm-hmm. I think the fans are not as angry about it anymore now that there's a conclusion to the story.
That's good to hear.
Yeah,
I hope there's more there's more fun to be had with this series, and they were finally able to let go of Phoenix Wright completely, even though he kind of is this character but not really.
It's honestly just the name. Like, you don't feel there's no like they don't try to like tie it into Phoenix in the future. It's like, oh, he like left something for Phoenix. There's like none of that. They're just like, oh, he just happens to be Phoenix's ancestor, that's it.
And this game is available on Switch, on PC, I think on PS4, and even like Xbox Series whatever. They made this very available, so definitely worth playing. But again, it's a very long experience and you're looking at 80 or more hours depending on how long it takes you to get through one of these. Mm-hmm. But it's so satisfying. And I don't know if anything will amaze me as much as this, but I'm hoping that for the future, this is the world they can play in more. I want to hear what both of you think as far as games for the future, because I feel like, again, I'm being repetitive here, but they figured it out here, and I want to see more of this. And if we don't get the setting, I want to see more of these mechanics.
I just want Shu Takumi to like do whatever he wants to do, because when he is given free reign, like with Ghost Trick, like with this, with the Ace Attorney Chronicles, I think he does so good because he's just brilliant. Obviously the original Ace Attorney trilogy is incredible. And so whatever Shu Takumi does next, that's what I want to play.
I agree. Like, instead of more Ace Attorney, let's have another Ghost Trick. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
I just like Shu Takumi's vision in general, and I'm sure he has more ideas of like different games he wants to do. Let that man be free. Let him do what he wants. If they do more Ace Attorney games, just get rid of the whole Phoenix apologizes thing. Come up with whole new characters.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't, like, a lot of people are like, kind of, you know, when they announced the remaster of the so-called Apollo Justice trilogy, people were like, well, where's Ace Attorney 7? And I'm like, do we really need an Ace Attorney 7? Like, if one comes out, I'll definitely be excited and I'll definitely play it. But it's also like, yeah, like, just let Shu Takumi do whatever he wants. That's the game I want to play.
Yeah, I don't know how excited I would be because I never even finished Spirit of Justice. I didn't play the second Grace Ace Attorney. Maybe I'm just done with the series. Maybe I just want to see more from Shu Takumi.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him in the video promoting the Ghost Trick HD release. I saw him in his little hat.
He said, oh my god. I can't believe he did his whole presentation in English, and it was really incredible. And at the end of it, he's like, I worked really hard to do this in English, so please, if you meet me, work hard to speak Japanese to me. And I'm like, he's just so precious and so incredibly intelligent and smart and creative. And yeah, just like, I just want to see more Shu Takumi.
Yeah. And in that video, I think he said, like, who knows if this sells well,
Ghost Trick,
the re-release.
There might be a
sequel.
Obviously, we talked about that on the Ghost Trick episode, but I think a lot of us, we feel the same way that if they make a sequel, it'd be great to see, you know, them reuse the mechanics, but do a completely different story, because that story was perfect. It's been told. It wrapped up incredibly well. It's beautiful. But if they take the mechanics out and put it in with a new cast, I think it would be really cool.
Yeah, yeah. There are no loose ends in that story, but everyone, please buy Ghost Trick if you didn't already.
Yes.
Definitely. And go back to our podcast. And I think that is a very spoilery podcast after the first half, so you can play through it and listen to us talk about the story as a whole. Sorry, Nina.
Oh, no, I just wanted to bring up, I don't want to put you too much in the spot, Bob, but since we've done the Ghost Trick podcast, the first Ace Attorney podcast, you've since read all of the Father Brown series, which was a major inspiration for Shu Takumi. Like, what was your thoughts on that series?
Oh, honestly, I read all of that was available to me in a collection, which is honestly a third of the stories, but I think I'm good for a while. But I read one of the old Perry Mason books recently, and I feel like, this owes a lot more. Ace Attorney owes a lot more to this, and I'm not sure if that was ever on the record as an inspiration, but it's so Ace Attorney. If you ever want to read a book series, and there's like 80 of them, the old Perry Mason books. But Father Brown, I can see it being somewhat tied to Ace Attorney, but a lot of the Father Brown stuff is about religion. And a lot of the ways Father Brown is proving things incorrect is showing how people are being like superstitious or not knowing enough about Catholicism. In a way, Father Brown mysteries are pretty good mysteries, but they're tied into Catholic propaganda, which is kind of strange. But I'm happy I read them, but I honestly didn't see too much of a connection. When I read Perry White, I was like, oh my God. Oh, sorry, Perry Mason. I was like, oh my God, it's like I'm reading Ace Attorney novels, really.
Well, even though Ace Attorney does not have Catholicism, obviously, would you say he was inspired to then bring in spirituality into the series in a way?
I don't think so. As Father Brown would hate that.
Having like spirit mediums and witches and stuff.
One of the last Father Brown stories I read was people assuming a dog knew something based on how it reacted. And Father Brown, he pointed out, no, the dog is acting on instinct. Here's what really happened. And you're a bad Catholic for thinking a dog could have human thoughts.
Whereas in these games, the dog would be an expert witness.
Yes, he brought it on trial.
It's like proper evidence.
You'd read its mind and it would have human thoughts and feelings, but not so in Father Brown. And they're all public domain. If you want to read Father Brown, they're all out there. They're all available in public domain. You can buy like all of them for 99 cents on Kindle if you want, or just look them up on Gutenberg. Wow. But I want to read more Japanese mystery novels, honestly, and I have some. I have a bunch at your apartment that are packed up in boxes, Nina.
Yes.
So that's where I want to go.
You should read more Kindaiji.
I want to. I have a lot of novels ahead of me in my life, but there are so many games to play, and some of them are 100 hours long, like this last Ace Attorney game. But we're going to wrap up, and I'll let everyone know that this has been Retronauts, of course. You can find us on Twitter at Retronauts, and we are supported, of course, on Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts. If you sign up for $3 a month, you can get all these episodes 1 week at a time and ad-free, but you really want to be at that $5 level, because at that $5 level, we have 2 bonus full-length episodes every month for patrons on that level, and also in a weekly article by Diamond Fight and a podcast to go along with that article. So that's a ton of content you're going to miss out on if you're not on that level. And it's been going on for over 3 years now. So that's 2 episodes a month for almost 4 complete years. You're missing out on a lot of podcasts if you want to hear more of us. And I can remember we launched that new initiative with Maddie. And this is relevant because the Super Mario RPG remake was just announced. That was our first Patreon exclusive episode back in 2020.
That was my first Retronauts.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited about that. I didn't get the chance to talk with you about that, Maddie.
Oh, my freaking mind was blown. I was just like freaking out. Like my friend and I, who's also like been a major fan of Mario RPG since they were a kid, we're just like yelling quotes at each other. And we're just like naming all the characters and being like Booster in HD, Boshi in HD. And we're just freaking out. I'm so excited. It's one of my favorite games of all time. And the remake looks phenomenal.
And you can hear us talk about it on the Patreon for $5. And you get a ton of podcasts on top of that. But please check it out at patreon.com/retronauts. I will do my plugs last, but Maddie, it's been a few years. Where can we find you? You're doing a lot of great comics online. You're going to be doing stuff with Grasshopper. What's going on with Maddie?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Patreon at Oh That's Raspberry, as well as my website, ohthatsraspberry.com. That is the letter O, That's Raspberry. It is a Simpsons reference. And doing mostly Metal Gear stuff, occasionally Resident Evil, Zelda, lots of video game comics, just being a big dork all the time online. And you can also find me. I half manage the English Grasshopper Manufacturer account, also appear in their videos, do some streams for Grasshopper Manufacturer, so be sure to follow them as well.
And Nina, I know you have Metal Gear content.
Well, first of all,
unrelated Ace Attorney, but there is Ace Attorney content as well.
I think that's more important to mention in this one, but...
Hey, but the dog just came out. Diamond Dog just came out.
Oh, that's true. The D-Dog plush, yes, among other things. Well, I mean, I'm on Twitter, Instagram. Blue Sky is the latest new thing. Who knows if that's going to stick around. RIP Hive. I really liked Hive, but did not win the social media mass exodus war. Wherever we all end up at, you can just go to spacecoyote.com/links, and that has links to everywhere you can find me online, all my social media pages and all my online stores. I recently put up an in-print print shop. That's like inprnt.com, and I'm on there as Space Coyote. You can buy my original prints. But also, more relevant to this podcast, yes, I do Ace Attorney merchandise and Metal Gear Solid merchandise. It's all official. Go to fangamer.com, sort by collection, click on my name, that's Space Coyote or Nina Matsumoto, and you can see all my Ace Attorney merch. And sorry, Bob, when does this episode come out?
Episode comes out on July 10th on the Patreon feed and July 17th on the main feed.
Okay, well then all I can say is there's more coming from me.
Ooh,
more Ace Attorney.
I like this
stuff coming from me.
Ooh, I don't think I've seen this privately.
No, I'm not showing you. I'm not supposed to show you.
No, and she never has.
I never show you
never
anything
happens.
I do in advance, right?
No, absolutely not. As for me, you can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. I'll be on other things at some point. I'm lazy about that right now. But the other thing I do is Talking Simpsons. It's a podcast I do about The Simpsons. You can find that wherever you find podcasts, or go to patreon.com/talkingsimpsons. You can find the podcast there, as well as other series like Talking Futurama, Talking of the Hill, What a Cartoon. You know all this stuff about me, but if you want to support my other thing, go to patreon.com/talkingsimpsons. That's it for us this week. We'll see you again very soon for another episode of Retronauts. Take care.